Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is My Wardrobe Malfunction, where each week I talk to a special guest about their relationship with clothes. The good, the bad, ugly, and sometimes outrageous. This is officially the start of Season 3, and these episodes were recorded in lockdown over Zoom, so apologies for the dodgy sound. Bear with us, as I promise we get much better as we go along. You can also find them as video versions on our website at mywardmal.com. If you are coming to us new, we'd love to hear from you for our pajama party, the section where you unburden yourself of your own clothing calamities and I provide a sympathetic ear. Email us at help@mywardmal.com and please subscribe, give us a 5-star review and follow us on the usual socials at mywardmal. Right, on to episode 1 or 9, depending on how you're looking at it. Recorded in May 2020, it's with journalist, presenter, former engineer, and retired Irish dancer, Steph McGovern. Why is it everyone I talk to can dance except me? So, let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. Steph, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. I mean, everything feels surreal, but it does for all of us, doesn't it? And I think there's pros and cons with all of this. And so I'm lucky that I'm with my family and with the baby. And I'm seeing her a lot more than I thought I would, to be honest. And so that's really lovely. And I've got her into a routine, which I never had in my own life, never mind thought I'd be capable of creating in hers. So, yeah.
When you've just had a child, a baby, to have, and especially for someone like you who is working all the time, constantly, to now have this gift of when she's little and growing up, you must feel really grateful for that.
Yeah, totally. And I think as well, like all my friends and family, to be fair, were really sceptical about whether I'd be able to adapt to having a baby, because I am someone who's always running around. And, you know, I'm sure you had this when you had your kids. They're like, you know that you kind of have to calm down a bit, Steph, and you need to be there for them and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I know. It'll be fine. And then actually the reality of it and being forced to lock down with a baby, I kind of thought, this actually is exactly what I needed to stop me working. Because, you know, on my maternity leave, I did start creeping into work again because I kept thinking, oh, I don't want to miss out on this big story. And actually being forced to be at home is the best thing for all of us. So that's been lovely.
And I so hear, because when I have my baby, Joe, I went back to work 3 weeks after having.
Wow. Did you?
Oh, my God. And I kind of would pump before I went, pump breast milk. And because of that, two things. I missed out basically on the first 2 years of his life, which is one of the only things I regret in my life. And as a result, I got postnatal depression, which I had for about 8 years without realizing. You know, I thought that was just normal and that's how you felt. So then I did things very differently when I had Esme. This is really good for you to, I would imagine, just to flip, because, you know, you are a bit, essentially, let's be honest, a bit of a workaholic.
Yeah.
And that transition is so difficult for a woman to go from that to a mother. So
you've
timed it beautifully.
I know, because that's what my partner said as well. It's just like, I think she was really worried about how I'd be on maternity leave because I am a workaholic. And so, there was a point before lockdown where I was kind of itching to be part of the story because it was just at the beginning, obviously, of everything kicking off. And And I was kind of thinking, I'm missing out here, which is really ridiculous because you've got a baby and you just feel guilty about everything, don't you? You feel guilty about thinking about work, and then you feel guilty about being so obsessed with your baby that you're not thinking about work. You kind of get yourself into like these places of just guilt that you don't deserve. And yeah, I think being then forced to be here the whole time has made me realize how much I get from having a baby as well, because she's just brought like a real sense of grounding to my life. You know, I'm not letting the trivial things affect me as much. And we've had a fair few dramas over the last few weeks, as I'm sure a lot of families have. Mm. But seeing her and just seeing her thrive and her little laughs or whatever, then you just go, everything's all right. Everything's all right. I just wind your neck in, stop panicking about trivial TV things or whatever it is. We are good and my little baby's okay, and therefore that's the most important thing. So it is a real leveler, isn't it?
Yes.
That I think that surprised me more
than
anything else.
It's going to be interesting to see how you go back after this, whether you're going to, once you... you know, you get your toe back into the workplace again.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to ignite your obsessive workaholicness, which I identify with too, you know. And I wonder if it is going to be different or you're just going to ping straight back.
I know. Well, because we did, because of the lockdown, I ended up doing the show I was meant to do in Leeds in my house. And so for 6 weeks we had a film crew outside in the garden and in the garage, nobody in my house for safety reasons, just loads of cameras. Mm. And as I described it at the time, it was like being on Big Brother, but with one contestant, you know, just having these cameras there all the time. But then also it being the home of my partner and my baby. So literally we were tag teaming in a way I've never experienced, because my partner works full time. We were literally between us, I would do a rehearsal, then I'd get the baby, play with the baby for 10 minutes when my partner did some work, then go live. And it was ridiculous. And that was a sense of, actually, you know, when I go back to work, I've got to think about my priorities a bit more, about how I am going to balance it properly. So that, you know, because I've chosen to have a child, so therefore you know, they can't just be an accessory, can they? They've got to be put the graft in.
It's separating the two, isn't it? So it's that thing of not, I mean, that sounds like total hell, the show you were doing from home.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it was brilliant as well,
really.
Like, well, because I didn't disappear for the day. I was at home and it was dead stressful, but it was I could see my, even in the commercial breaks on the show, I would nip out and have a little hug with the baby and then run back in, and sometimes it's sick on my shoulders, to be honest. But it felt like, just, oh my God, how lucky am I that I'm getting to see my baby, and I'm working and, you know, earning an income, but I'm not having to leave for the day and only just have the bath time or whatever. And I mean, yeah, to be honest, when we decided to stop it, it was a relief as well, just to go back to normal, because keeping the house tidy was, you know, every night I'd be like pushing toys underneath the sofa.
I so identify. Literally this hat, you know, here, this little bit that you can see is the only tidy part of the house, and even that isn't very tidy, and the rest is just, you just got to let go, really. Keep it clean at least, and then let go, forget everything else. But Steph, going on to wardrobe, so you're known for a fabulously distinctive and colourful style,
and I love the fact you've said that, because
I love it. Colour is, you know, colour is everything, and I, you know, I have so much respect for you that you go for it with your colour. And I was wondering, has it always been like that? Has it always been the case? Or?
Probably not, to be honest. I was probably fairly bland in terms of colours when, you know, I'm pretty beige when I was younger. Mm. I think it's because going on telly, you know, there's so many rules, aren't there, about things you can and can't wear. And the key thing is, if you're wearing something dark and what might, you know, the dark colours on telly. It might look great in real life, but on telly it just does make you look miserable, or it makes you look too serious, or it makes you look like you're about to announce something awful. I mean, so bad it was. But I started, and I didn't have a clue what to wear on telly. I hadn't got a clue. Well, you know, the first time I ever went on telly, nobody helped me. There was no, like, everyone thought that we have a big wardrobe on Breakfast, and we don't. We just have a guess every day what we should wear, and we get it wrong loads. So I, like, just bought this dress from Topshop, which, because I was only, like, 28, and I just bought this dress that I thought was, like, a nice dress, but, and it was bright blue, and I thought, oh, that's a bit punchy for me. And the colour looked ace, but it was too short. The sleeves were wrong. I look, you know, and I wore like a pair of massive heels, and I wore what I'd wear on a night out with my mates, basically. Yeah. And it was totally wrong. You know, it's Breakfast telly, but I was just looking at all the other like people thinking everyone's wearing telly dresses. And then I kind of found a make of dress that really suited my figure, because I am, you know, bigger than most of the, yeah, I'm tall, but I'm also, I'm not skinny. I'm pretty normal. And so, but on telly, it can make you look really big. And so I was really struggling to find things where I didn't look pregnant on telly, to be honest. So
you've got quite big boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it, and I've got, I'm someone who carries my weight on my belly. You know, I have got a pot belly. So so in the end, to cut a long story short, I found this range of dresses which were like really bright, colourful, gorgeous colours, and they had like rouging and creases and everything around the belly to make it not look as bad. And they, you know,
so everyone, no one would know it was flesh; it was just fabric.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, still, but so then, and then I just, once I got comfortable with my kind of self on telly, and then went more back to how I would dress, I started wearing shirts. And then I thought, well, I'm going to stick with colour, and I love pattern. You know, I really love pattern shirts. I love jumpers. I love like bold statements on jumpers or prints or whatever. So that's kind of, you know, it's gone from, ooh, TV dresses, everyone looks like this, and very kind of American US actor style, to, actually, no, I'm much more comfortable, especially being out and about. You can't rock up at a factory in like a telly dress, because you just A, alienate everyone, and B, look like a Muppet. So so then I just started doing more like jeans and shirts, and then that's kind of been my thing. And that's what I wear in real life as well. So it feels, although real life shirts are not as bright as telly shirts, I think.
But it's good. It's great, because you've really got a distinctive style now, which I also think is, I think it's important, and not enough TV presenters. You know, you have like people doing country, whatever it's called, country file stuff like that. That's different. But on morning TV and chat shows like that, magazine shows, they all look the fucking same, I'm sorry, but they do. And it is those bland block colours, tight fitting, so they don't.
Yeah.
And then we get you, and it's just like, oh, thank God. You know, someone who is not afraid to step out of the telly box and sartorially, and someone who's having fun with clothes and is not afraid to be herself.
Yeah. Well, that was actually my best life lesson, was realizing my biggest strength on telly is being myself. And it takes a while to get to that point, though, doesn't it? Because especially at the BBC, I've grown up with thinking the BBC is quite posh, and I've got to be a BBC reporter and speak very clearly, you know. And actually, the best lesson I ever had was from my previous editor, who very tragically died of cancer after appointing me, like a year or two after. And she was just like, you've got to be yourself before you're a reporter. That's why I'm employing you. I want your northernness. I want you the way you want to dress. I want you to just be yourself. And I mean, to begin with, she was a bit like, while everyone gets used to your voice, let's just make you look like all the other presenters. But then just start going into your own mold once people get used to you.
Yeah.
That funny that I needed to look like the others in order to sound different.
I think it's also that is interesting, and I think it's like you've to, in order to be and look yourself, you've got to have the confidence to do that, because it is quite exposing, and it's like you're putting yourself on the line more. Whereas, you know, in dressing a way that maybe you weren't used to, unless you were going for a night on the town, it was sort of yeah, armor in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, actually, because I think, you know, obviously you get loads of comments about your appearance as a woman on telly. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're getting all these harsh messages, if you're thinking, oh, well, that's not what I look like in real life anyway, I suppose you can compartmentalise it, can't yes. you? And I'd probably be being guilty of that, of going, yes. They don't know me. That's not what I look like in real life. And yes. And yeah, and then once you get the confidence to go, actually, I'm better when I'm myself, and I'm better when I dress the way I normally dress, and it's more relatable then, because we aren't all the same. And
it's kind of, you give other women permission to be themselves as well, and I think that's so important. And I think as women who are on television, we all have a responsibility to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, easier said than done, though, isn't it? Because I keep smiling to myself hearing you say all this, because obviously I grew up with watching you and Trini, and you know, that was all about giving normal people a feeling of empowerment, and you can, you know, like, I was always glued to it, thinking how look at the confidence these people are getting from just a change of clothes, because you do need help with it occasionally. And I know, okay, in the grand scheme of life, when everything's going on, what you wear is trivial, but it kind of isn't as well. And that's why we have things like the lipstick effect, you know, with the economy. Mm-hmm. So when the economy is doing badly, often the sales of lipsticks will go up, because...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's like a treat to ourselves, because we might not be able to afford a holiday or afford all those big key things, ticket things, but we can... We still want to treat ourselves, so we do that by maybe buying a slightly posher lippy than we normally would, or a new mascara or something, because it makes us feel better about things, and that's so important for our heads.
Of course it is. It's so important, and that's always what's interested me about clothes. It's not so much at all about what's in fashion or what's stylish or what's this. It's the effect that looking yourself in the mirror and thinking, you know what, I look pretty good. That's all. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, even if it's a fucking bin liner and you look in the mirror and go, oh my God, I look pretty good. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. But do you think there's a particularly strong kind of northern pride in dressing up to go out? I mean, I've witnessed it. Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, you know, I grew up doing Irish dancing, and all the girls that I danced with, you know.
You grew up what? Dancing?
Yeah, I used to be
what,
like...
What, professional dance? Like, in a dance
I was... No, as in, I did dancing as a hobby.
Okay.
Irish dancing. But it was a whole...
No, you did Irish dance, like river dance.
Yeah. So, no. All of that was hair and makeup and tan. Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, it was... It's quite, you know, it shocks quite a lot of people when you see, I don't know if you've ever seen like an Irish dancing kid, but it's very pageant style. It's like incredible amounts of makeup, wigs now as well. We didn't really have wigs when I was growing up. It was more your head in rollers for out of days on end, trying to get the perfect ringlets. But that whole thing was, you know, I learned from a young age how to do eyeliner and how to do, I'm really good at my own makeup because of all of that. And then the girls I grew up with.
How old were you when you were doing this?
Like from 10, the age of 10. Yeah, until I was about 19. And then I came out of retirement to dance in the World Championships again when I was about 24. So
shut up. The World Championships.
Yeah, so no, it sounds mad, isn't it?
So who were you representing? England?
The way it works is, it goes by regions in England because there are so many dancers. So, you know, I was representing, at that point, I was representing the Midlands because I was dancing for a school there while I was in London. But all my mates were in, then when we were 16 is when Riverdance came out. So most of my mates went to join Riverdance and joined the shows. They toured the world with Flatley. They're still my best mates, but So we get dressed up all the time, you know. Even to go to a dancing competition now, I'll go and meet them there sometimes, but just to have a catch up with everyone and have drinks, because most of them are teachers and dance teachers now. And we will be dressed up to the nines. You can't go without dressing up, because it's just a thing we do.
That's so
amazing. Yeah, so we it's like, honestly, an Irish dancing competition is like a fashion show. And because I know it's the world of dance, isn't it? It's the world
of... like Strictly.
Yeah,
That's amazing. Wow. I would not have expected the words Irish dancing to come out of
your mouth. I know that's the funny thing. But now I think I credit a lot of my success to it, really, because it taught me how to do my own makeup and everything. And I could put lashes on before lashes were even trendy. And also, you know, just that confidence of, I used to travel quite a lot with dancing, and there's no class system in dancing either. Like, I didn't know who out of my friends' parents had money and who didn't, because nobody cared. It was just, the only difference you might notice was somebody's dress might be a bit posher, but then actually quite a lot of poor families would get help paying for dresses, or you could buy them secondhand and you could jazz them up yourself. And so all of that meant it was brilliant. It was a brilliant leveler. So it's only like years later I found out that, you know, one of my friend's dads is a famous architect, and we never knew that because nobody cared. It was just like, can you dance well? Yeah, great. Right. Well, you're in the club.
I've got to see this. Is there anything on YouTube of you doing this? There must be.
Yeah, there is, actually, because one day on breakfast, you know that scene on Titanic where Kate Winslet goes down to the, you know, where the servants' quarters are, and she dances with Leonardo, goes up on her toes and all this jazz. And we had Kate Winslet on the show that day, and somebody said something on the sofa in the build up to her coming onto the show, and they said, "Oh, have you seen that scene? I bet you couldn't do it, Steph." And I was like, "Actually, I bet I could." And they were like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Right, somebody find me some music." And so I was wearing one of my telly dresses. So there I was in my little flipping bodycon pink number, and then just flung my heels off and had to dance. And then it just went mad. And that was my first, I was only new on the show. And I hadn't been on telly before. So that was when I was in all the papers the next day. And I was like, wow.
That's so
Someone
that's
told me that
as a kid. That is so fantastic.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, do you have a comfort blanket that you take? Is there any kind of item of clothing that you couldn't live without?
Do you know what it is, right? This is, you know, too much information and all that. But it's a bra that I once bought, which, so, you know, obviously I wear a lot of shirts. And what I hate is gaping around the boobs. And I could never find a bra that didn't gape. And it was just, so I ended up... Sometimes on telly, I looked like a bit of a hunchback because I was trying to just not let my end up flashing my bra on or boobs on telly. So I got this sports bra from Lululemon, bizarrely, of all places. And it literally has changed my life because it now...
I want the bra.
Yeah, I've got it next to me because I thought you might ask. So it's like literally hideous, you know. This is never going to get me in, you know, FHM or whatever. But... It's like the most comfy and, I don't know if you can see it very well, But it's just because I've got one on now, and it literally with my shoe. Yeah, it totally supports. But the best thing it does is bring them together and hold them up high. So therefore, if my shirt, it doesn't, it means the shirt doesn't give, and it, I can, you know.
What size are you?
What is this one? This is where I never remember what I am. I'm a double D.
Okay. Yeah, that looks good. But then it doesn't, it's quite, does it go quite high up here?
Well, yeah, but that's for shirts. I wouldn't wear it if I was wearing like a V-neck or anything. But
yeah,
shirts,
okay.
It's just, yeah, so that is my,
yeah.
Like, I literally, whenever I'm doing telly, I always wear it because I know that it'll never, yeah. And yeah. It also, it holds mics in really well. Yeah. You can stick
I'm going to look for that because I'm always, I'm always trying to make my boobs look smaller, and I wear sports bras or two bras, I do as well. But don't you find with shirts that they put the bloody buttons in the wrong place? So you have a button there and a button there and not one in between your boobs.
Exactly.
I put a safety pin in.
Yeah.
So well, annoying.
Yeah, I've spent my life putting safety pins there as well, and it's just been dragged mad because you're right there. You can get some gorgeous fitted shirts, but you're right, the buttons are just that's the cleavage.
Yeah, bloody annoying. And do you have any style icons? Is there anyone who...
I love people that I really love their style, are people like Emma Willis. I think she always looks
she's
amazing.
I agree.
Yeah. I like Zoe Ball as well. I mean, I just love her generally. I always wanted to be her growing up.
Yeah.
So people like that. I think it's that kind of, just like you said, it's women who are not afraid to look however they want. And sometimes that might be really girly, and sometimes it might be quite androgynous. And I like that. I like that way of being anything.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always have to be one thing.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, quite inspiring, because sometimes I am really girly and I wear like a dress and heels and all that. And then other times I'm more tomboy. And I think that's nice to just have to mix it up, really.
Which one do you prefer, the girly girl or the tomboy? If you had to choose.
If I had to be one for the majority of time, it would be the tomboy one. Yeah. Just because it's more comfortable. but I do feel brilliant when I wear, like, I probably feel my best when I'm wearing a dress and heels and I've got a tan done and, you know, my hair is looking good. And that's probably when I feel my best. I think tomboy style is a bit more lazy, and therefore I don't necessarily feel as good.
Yeah. And have you always had short hair?
No.
Because that's a bit of a kind of thing with you as well, your hair.
Yeah. So, no, I haven't. I had quite short hair when I was I had long hair while I was dancing, because it used to get put in rollers all the time. so it was really long, constantly getting curled. And then when they brought wigs out towards the end, then I said, oh, brilliant, I can cut my hair. And so I did have short hair then, but then I grew it, and I suppose I had kind of bobbed hair for most of my life. And then every morning on breakfast, I was going into work about 4:30, sitting in a chair for 30 minutes getting my hair done and then makeup, and it did my head in. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God, I'm so, which sounds really ungrateful. And obviously it's really lovely, somebody else doing your hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought I'd rather have that extra 30 minutes in bed. And at the same time, Sally, who does the sport on the show, I love her style. She's so stylish. She's just always bang on with what people should wear to suit them. And she kept sending me pictures of people with short hair and kept saying, oh, you'd really suit this look. Like, I've forgotten her name, the woman at House of Cards who's got short hair.
Oh, yeah, Robin Wright.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
So she kept sending me these pictures all the time, going, I think you'd really suit short hair, you know, I think you really, and so in the end, she convinced me to go short, and it was funny because I didn't tell anyone, obviously, I'm not going to announce it on telly, I'm getting my hair cut, everyone. it was the week my boss was on holiday, And so I went to the hairdressers, got it all cut off. And then I loved it straight away. I was like, wow. And it's just so easy. And so it shaved off half an hour of my morning. And then the first time I went on air with it, and my boss was on holiday, he said his phone went absolutely wild with everyone going, oh my God, Steph's cut her hair, it looks really good. And so that was a real boost as well. I mean, there were some blokes mainly going, oh, you've made yourself look like a man in a man's world, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the whole, it was really positive. And yeah. What's funny now is getting people who come up to me in the street who've got the same hair going, oh, I got my hair done like you. And some hairdresser friends who said, you know, there was a picture brought in with my hair, which absolutely cracks me up. But
brilliant. But you're so lucky. You've got very strong features and good bone structure. And I would love to have short hair, but I've got a very small kind of pinhead.
No, you're gorgeous. What are you running about?
But I would love to have short hair, and I just look like a fucking Shetland pony when I.
To be fair, like if I put my fringe down, I am looking like a Shetland pony at the minute because of the lockdown.
Oh my God! Tell me about it. But Steph, do you have So do you travel? Were you traveling quite a lot? Because you met Trump.
Yeah.
What happened with him?
Well, do you know, that's one of those things where I never realised how significant a story that would be of meeting him.
When was it?
It was before he was president, so 2012, and he was in the UK and had agreed to do one broadcast interview, and I managed to get it, and because I was mainly doing business at the time, and he wanted to talk about business and talk about his golf club up in Scotland and the problems with the wind farms. And as ever, when you're going to interview someone like at that level, you normally agree that you'll ask a couple of questions about whatever it is they want to talk about, and then you'll move on to whatever else. And so, so that was all agreed. And I don't really get intimidated necessarily by people like that. I think I've always had the view of, you know, no one's better than anyone else, and blah, blah, blah. And so that served me quite well. And I mainly had that because of the background I grew up in of, you know, working class and pretty tough, not personally for me, but, you know, I grew up with lots of people where we were at a tough school and blah, blah, blah. And I had it really put into my head by our teachers. No one's better than you. Don't think the kids at the private schools are better than you, blah, blah, blah. So coming to interview Trump, I was just like, oh, cool, this is going to be good, you know. Getting to interview someone like him, and he had this massive entourage with him of people, you know. He had a stylist that makes me laugh to this day. I know someone's paid to do that.
Yeah.
And so he kind of, I got all the usual stuff from his advisor saying, his PA, whatever, saying, don't ask him about this, don't ask him about his ex-wife. Don't ask him about his hair. And then instantly you're thinking in your head, my last question is going to be, what does your ex-wife think about your hair? And, you have all this with all the people like that,
yeah.
Politicians in particular, where everything's kind of laid out beforehand and it's built into this massive deal, normally by the people around them rather than the actual person. It's just like celebrities, isn't it? And so he came into the room and he just did this really ridiculous thing of like stopping dead, looking at me and just going, wow, you're so beautiful. And then he just did this whole big like parade of going, you're so beautiful that I'm going to have to leave the room to make myself look better. Because if we do this interview now, everyone's just going to be staring at you and not looking and listening to me.
God, joke.
And I literally howled because I just thought that is so funny that's what you, because I don't believe you. I just think you're trying to butter me up so that I'll give you an easy run on an interview or just disarm me in some way. But it just literally made me burst out laughing. And I was just like, oh, love, I've heard better lines than that down Club Bongo. That's what I said. Because again, it came back to what? Don't mug me off here. I know you don't think I'm beautiful. I know who your wife is. I know whatever. And because he did leave the room as well and come back. And I think as well, before I was ever on telly, I was a producer for a long time. And so I used to see all this type of behaviour with other leaders and celebrities, and it's all a game. It's all just to try and make us, knock us off our guard, so we don't come straight in with a really hard interview.
And that's
what I think he does with women. Seeing it play out now,
manipulation, isn't it?
Because my producer at the time, a lovely lad called Sean, he worked out that Trump worked out that Sean would be the one deciding which bits were going to go in the piece. So he went over to Sean and kind of gave him this fairly harsh slap on the back and said, I can't do the accent, sorry, but basically said, you know, Sean, you've got a good career ahead of you. You know, you want to keep it that way. So he basically threatened Sean, and I was like, God, that's the measure of you, isn't it? You just think the way to do this is to chat up women and threaten blokes. And, you know, that's what we're seeing every day with him and Howard.
It's kind of like to make comment. You are beautiful, by the way, so I'm not negating that at all. But I know exactly what you're saying. But couldn't he be a little bit more eloquent about it? I mean, I'm sorry, but that is so... Like you say, you've heard better chat-up lines in Club Bongo. And if you're going to do that and you're someone, a businessman of supposedly his caliber, surely you'd be a bit more subtle.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, then years later, I was talking to the woman who he made chief engineer of Trump Tower. And she was saying to me, he's just got a really immature sense of like men and women. Like, he does think that the way you impress men is to be really blokey to the extreme of sleeping with women and threatening men. And then to women, it's just all about looks, as if we don't care about anything else. And I think that's where he's gone. Well, there's loads of ways he's gone wrong, aren't there? But that, as women, if he'd have said to me, do you know what, I think you're a brilliant journalist, or I think, you know, that piece you did, even if he was lying, if his advisor had said, you did a piece about mobile phone insurance last week, just say something on that. And I probably would have still seen through it, but I would have respected, oh, right, you're making an effort to at least commend me on something that I value more. And, you know, of course I care what I look like, of course I do. But in that moment...
It's a cheap shot, isn't it?
But do you know what? Hey, I've dined out on that story, so I'm really glad it happened now.
Thanks, Donald.
I'm like, oh my God, how lucky am I? I watched that film Bombshell the other night. Have you seen it?
I haven't. No, is that the one with
Nicole Kidman? Yeah. Charlize Theron.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And that I was just laughing all the way through that, thinking, God, isn't it funny? Like, because it's obviously all about these news anchors and how they stand up to their boss at Fox News is basically an old perv. And, you know, I just think it's so nice now to see us women, like, empowered and not taking this shit anymore like we have done for years.
And
I did think about, though, although guilty, I was like, oh, my God, Charlize Theron is so beautiful in this. I would love to look like her.
I know.
And then I thought, contradicting myself.
And, Steph, what's your worst wardrobe malfunction?
Oh, man. I have had quite a few, you know. So
what's the worst?
I'm going to tell you two because they're both horrendous. So one is on stage at a conference. New tights. I'd been encouraged I bought the tights at the airport because I must have flown from Newcastle to London or something, and bought Wolford tights, so obviously posh tights, and I was like, right, I'm going to treat myself. The woman had talked me into buying a medium and not a large. She was like, honestly, you're a medium. And I was like, normally I wear a large. And she was like, no, medium. So I bought them. They were lovely sheer tights. I'm on stage and I could feel them just rolling down and down and down. And I couldn't pull them up. I'm in an odd. It was about 1,000 people in front of me. And so I couldn't work out what to do. So I was just sitting there trying to not let them roll anymore. And then I had to stand up because, it came to the point where I had to thank the guests. And they just rolled to my knees. It was the most, I But of course, that then was allowing them to roll even more. So I was like, it was so embarrassing. And I was like, what am I? So I had to stand, and I stood there until pretty much everyone had left the room, because I could. And I was saying, thanks, everyone. See you back after the break, thinking, just get out of the room, just get out, everyone. And then people were coming forward to the stage to have a chat with me or have a selfie. And I was like, I'm really, and in the end, I just went, listen, everybody, my tights are falling down. I'm just going to get around the back and pull them up. So.
Oh my God. That is, you can't have anything worse than that. That's classic. What's the other one?
Yeah, I know. And I was raging with that woman who convinced me to buy Medium, because all I kept thinking was, if I'd have fit and worn large, I wouldn't be having this.
You're fine. Yeah.
So the other one is, just before I was about to go on air in the breakfast studio, the sound man was just trying to fix the microphone on. And I had one of my dresses on, and this is about 20 seconds before we're about to go live. I was like, come on, just get the zip up now. We haven't got time for this. And he pulled the zip and he ripped the entire dress. So the whole zip came off its
seams.
Yeah. And it just cut, and my whole dress just went ping. And then it was about 10 seconds. So I was just like, throw me some gaffer tape. And literally, and I had to stand like in a way so you couldn't see. And he literally just quickly gaffer taped the back of my dress. And I did the whole bulletin with basically gaffer tape holding me together. But things like that happen all the time on TED.
But I love both those, because those malfunctions, because that is when clothes seriously let you down. And that epitomizes to me a wardrobe malfunction. It's not so much about wearing the wrong thing or the wrong color or something doesn't suit you. It's about when your clothes really, really, you know.
Yeah.
That's two perfect examples.
The also, this coming back to your point about bras and the buttons are in the wrong place, zips on dresses are always really shit. So you might have a really nice, gorgeous dress, but the zip is tiny and it's really hard to, I just do my head in zips.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you've got a seam around the waist or under the bust line and you can't get it over over the seam, and then you pull and then it splits.
Yeah.
Oh, so annoying. Yeah, so, but I can't imagine that would happen to your birthday suit. So is there something, an outfit that you, is your absolute favourite, that you feel a million squillion dollars in?
Yeah. Do you know, I think if it's like the thing that I feel amazing in going out is like a jumpsuit. So I've got this gorgeous.
You look great in that.
Yeah, and when I was pregnant, Alex Jones, who I do the Shotwell for Less programme with,
said to me... Love that show, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And she said, take this jumpsuit. It was just a Zara jumpsuit. And she said, honestly, it's so comfy, particularly when you're pregnant, and it makes you look good. Oh, it was the best thing ever, because I still had to go to awards dues and whatever else. And it just made me feel brilliant. And the pictures I'm most proud of that I've ever had of, like, you know, those daft photos you have when you go into an award, is the ones where I'm in this jumpsuit, and it literally was borrowed off Alex, and I've still got it because it's just fab, and it's nothing, it's a plain navy jumpsuit, but it's beautifully fitted. It made my bump look really cute rather than made me look massive, and so that is my definite, I feel amazing in it, because it just, I used to wear it so much because I just felt fucking brilliant in it. Yeah. Even though when you're pregnant, you're like, and you just feel horrendous and you're sweating and you're.
Oh, Steph McGovern. Listen, you've been, so I'm going to let you go now, but I have to say, that was so weird because I felt like we weren't doing an interview. It's just like.
No,
we
I know.
Chat.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I know it was funny, like when you asked me my bra size, and then afterwards I thought, no, I never thought I'd be saying my bra size to someone. But that's because it was so nice chatting to you, just
You're just amazing. And thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Hopefully, God willing, we'll meet after this.
And thank you for everything you've done over the years. That, honestly, I totally grew up loving you.
I send you masses of love. And
likewise.
Take care.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.